Hi, I'm Dr. Marcia, and you're listening to the Self-Care Chronicle. As a licensed psychologist, I know the importance of self-care in maintaining my mental wellness. But I'm often pretty busy running around trying to help others navigate their way through life. And when my schedule gets really hectic, I struggle with self-care, the very self-care that I always recommend to other people. And that made me wonder, am I the only one? How do other mental health professionals handle their self-care? So I reached out to a bunch of my peers and asked them if they would talk to me about their experiences. Join me each week as I chat with a fellow mental health professional about stress management and self-care. Welcome to the Self-Care Chronicle. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Marcia, and you're listening to episode 7 of the Self-Care Chronicle. Today, I'm chatting with Tasia Milicevic. Tasia is a licensed clinical social worker. She owns and operates TMR Talk Therapy and Consulting Services and TMR Mental Health Care. The great work Tasia and TMR are doing can't be adequately covered in this brief intro. So after the show, go to drmarciabrown.com to check out her full bio and links to her website. Let's get right to it. And welcome, Tasia. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So let's just jump right into it. My first question is always, what was your journey into becoming a mental health professional? Why mental health? Why you decided to pursue this career? And what was your journey into treating your current population?
I honestly feel like becoming a therapist chose me. It wasn't something that I aspired to be. As a child, I always said, when I grow up, I want to work for the Secret Service and be a spy.
Okay.
While I was in undergrad, initially I was studying nursing, and I just like the anatomy and physiology and the science. I said, this is too hard. And At the time, I worked at a dialysis center as a patient care tech. And I really loved helping people and talking to people. And I would see the social worker who was on staff just coming around looking cute. She had on a nice outfit with her white jacket. And I would watch her and say, well, what does she do? Because I know that she's helping, but in a different capacity from the nurses. So at that moment, I had a conversation with her and learned about what she does for the patients in the dialysis setting, and I thought it was interesting. So I went back to school and I said, I need to change my major. What can I change to where I won't lose all of the credits? Because at this point, I was about a year and a half in pursuing nursing. And surprise, they said, check out social work. And I read the code of ethics, and we have, it's called the preamble for the profession. So when I read that, I immediately fell in love. I loved everything that the profession said that it sought to be the mission. And I wanted to do this kind of work. And here I am about 15 years later. So
nice. You mentioned 15 years later. Are you still working with that particular population or?
Yes. So for a long time, I worked with adolescents in the high school setting. And the high schools were always alternative settings. So these were kids who were deemed at risk of not graduating for whatever reasons. I pretty much worked with adolescents in a school setting. And up until the time when I got my master's, I continued to work with that population. It was more academic counseling. So the focus was, how do I support you so that you can graduate high school? And I really wanted to do more clinical work where not only is my focus graduating high school, but tackling mental health issues. So that is why I then started to pursue doing more clinical work. And I started to work in a private practice while I was under supervision for 3 years. And once I started doing clinical work, that was it. I stood with that population. And to this day, I still see adolescents, but it's in a different capacity and I see people of all ages.
Can you talk a little bit about your position now? You run your own practice, right? And so can you talk a little bit about the most stressful thing about your job?
Yes, the most stressful part is being the go-to person for everybody and everything. There's a lot of liability and responsibility that, you know, people on the outside looking in may not realize, but it's one person for everything. And I think that's the most stressful part. I also see clients. So I have my clients that I see, but then once I'm done seeing clients, I have to do all the business stuff behind the scenes. And it's a lot. Like, it's not easy. So time management goes a long way.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point in terms of on the outside, it does seem fantastic. You're, you know, running your own business and you are the boss and you get to make all decisions. But on the flip side of that, you are running everything. You are the boss. You get to make all the decisions, which means that everything is on your shoulders, which can be really stressful. It's different when you work somewhere else because you can accumulate sick time and vacation time, and you might have like a insurance that they provide or whatever the case may be. But when you're running the show, it's 100% like you don't get vacation or sick or anything like that.
Yes. Recently, I took off 10 days and I told my whole team, I'm on vacation.
Nice.
That just meant I wouldn't be seeing patients, but every day it was something else.
Yep.
It wasn't a vacation at all. And I said, okay, I didn't have to see people face to face. But again, the business aspect, there's so many things to do and systems to implement. When things are not working correctly, it's like, how can I fix it? But also, I think when it comes to stress, what makes it difficult is keeping everybody happy. Because when people see the brand TMR, I want them to be happy and say, I'm a patient there. I love my therapist. I love the way, you know, they operate and the services that I receive. But on the flip side, I need for the people who work for me to be happy as well, so that they can then render services that people are happy to get or see that it's really making a change in their life. So that's, I think, to me, the most stressful part, keeping everyone happy and then including myself too.
Can you talk a little bit about COVID-19 and the impact of the pandemic on your practice, on your business? How has COVID-19 impacted the way that you're able to deliver your services and the way that you're able to get the job done in terms of taking care of the mental health of others?
Yes. COVID has been, it's been interesting navigating a business during these times. I think in regards to mental health, it has made our services more accessible to a lot of people who normally wouldn't be able to access us. So for example, now insurance companies have to cover telehealth visits because of the emergency mandates to close the offices. Before, plans could say, no, we're not going to cover that service. So if you're a person who cannot physically get into the office, you're not able to get therapy because we cannot bill for telehealth on some plans. I think that, again, it's been, COVID has made mental health services more accessible. My practice is in Bergen County, New Jersey is huge. Now I can see someone who's in South Jersey who, you know, they don't have to drive 3 hours to see me now via Zoom. So again, it just makes the services more accessible. I've had some elderly clients who didn't know what Zoom was, but once I taught them how to use it, now they can stay connected to people that they care about.
Right. That's really great. Can you talk a little bit about whether or not there has been an impact of not having the patient or the client in the room with you? Has there been anything for you as a clinician that's been challenging in terms of, for the most part, we are used to being in the same room with a person. We're used to being able to look them in the eye, being able to, you know, see them face to face. So can you talk a little bit about the impact of having that screen now between you and the person that you're treating?
Yes, it definitely changes the dynamic. But I think the thing that I miss the most is being able to read like body language, because we can only see from the chest up most of the time. And if we're in the room, like I've seen a couple and let's say one of the clients will say, oh, he just kicked me because he didn't want me to say that. That's something that I can't see. And I'm like, oh, well, thanks for telling me. You know, we miss those sort of cues, but you see them in their own environments. It's nice to see people in their own environments because you can learn so much that way as well. So there are some pros and there are some cons, but I think having some support is better than none at all.
Right. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about you have this practice where you're busy taking care of a lot of other people. You've got the clients, but you're also taking care of your staff. So you have double the work. So can you talk a little bit about how you take care of yourself, how you make sure that you can replenish your own stores?
Yes. I think what's most important is making sure you get a good night's sleep.
Okay.
So my goal every day is to make sure that I get at least 7 hours of sleep, because that is how I like to take care of myself. I know that if I do not get sleep, I will not be good for anything the next day. So, and sleep is how our body really heals. You know, when you feel stressed, then you take a nap. Sometimes you wake up, you feel a little better. So sleep is very important to me. Other things that I do for self-care, I do yoga. I think it's so important to be able to be still when we live in a culture that glorifies busyness. I love to have a moment where I can be in silence and it's just me and no phone, no TV, nobody, not checking emails or text messages, because it just doesn't stop for me. So I have to make that time where I can be still and it's just about me. Like, that's very important. So I do yoga. I do Pilates once a week, which I really enjoy as well. And it's the same concept, to get your body moving, but in a different way.
All right, so yoga and Pilates, making sure that you get plenty of sleep. Can you talk a little bit about, I've seen some Pilates. I know isn't there a machine involved? Some sort of pulley system. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I don't know much about it.
Yeah, so the machine is called the Reformer. That's what I use with my trainer. And pretty much the machine just creates resistance for you, or like it adds weight to certain things. But that's all that the machine is for. You can do Pilates on a mat without the actual machine.
Oh, okay. All right. So you can do it just similar to yoga, just on a mat, on the floor, whatever, wherever you need to be.
And the difference is with Pilates, you do more movement and range of motion, versus in yoga, sometimes there's movement involved as well. But again, the focus is on, sometimes like in class, there's like meditation and the focus is just on really being in control of your body for both of them. And I think that's very important because it brings discipline, which is needed for like a person like me who have so much to do and responsibility. So how it kind of helps me in my personal life, just knowing I'm in control. And if I want things to be a certain way, I have to, you know, execute them. But it's going to be based on my movement.
Can you also talk a little bit more about, you know, for self-care, it's oftentimes trial and error. So can you talk a little bit about, for you, when you started on your journey to self-care, if there were any things that you tried and just kind of were like, it doesn't really do it for me?
Yes, I think what's important, and I actually told the client this today, we were talking about self-care, and sometimes self-care means doing nothing. You know, when you are a very busy person and you feel like life just doesn't stop, you're pulled in a million different directions, self-care is turning everything off and being in your bed and doing nothing, just being still. So I think that people have to focus on them. Self-care is about you, not about other people. You have some people who enjoy different things and they call it self-care, but that doesn't mean that that's going to work for you.
Right. And I think that's so important. I'm so happy that you pointed that out, because as you mentioned earlier, we are in a culture that is all about just being busy and filling our minds with things. And we are constantly, you know, looking at our phones and checking our email and looking at the internet, and we're inundated with information and activity all the time. And so sometimes the way to counter that, to replenish your stores, is just to stop doing things, just do nothing.
Exactly.
For you personally, is that difficult? Just for you, is it difficult to just do absolutely nothing?
Yes, especially with the kids. Like, I have my youngest, she's 21 months old. So it's impossible to have a day where I do nothing, even if it's just like getting up and, you know, just making sure that they're okay.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about, throughout the day, some of the things that you practice to make sure that you're not reaching that sort of boiling point? Because all day we have things coming at us. And so what do you do if you can't, like, run out to a yoga session or run out to Pilates? What are some of the things that you do to bring yourself back to, you know, level?
Yes, I think for me, the biggest thing is time management. I write down a lot of things and I try to be realistic. So like you said, when there's a bunch of things like coming at us, for instance, this week I had like some contracts that I needed to review, and then I'm working on changing my entire billing software. And again, that's like another contract, and meeting with people, and we're trying to figure out like health insurance for 2021. And on top of that, I still have to see my clients. I'm still like supervising people that I have to like be available to. So what I do is I create lists every day. I have my to-do list. And if I'm in it, if I'm like throughout the day, if I feel overwhelmed, like this is just too much, I kind of look and I say, well, when can I do this another time? Or it's not going to happen today. And just being honest and realistic with like my expectations of myself. I think that goes a long way, knowing that I'm not a machine and there's only a certain amount of hours in a day.
Yeah.
It's just being realistic. And I think I do a good job at trying to delegate tasks to other people. Like, how can other people on the team help? You know, right. And that goes a long way too, because I like to run the practice as a team, again, keeping everyone happy. And we can't read minds. So it's like, let me know what you guys need so that then I can make your experience like better.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent philosophy, because it goes with the old adage, a happy employee is a good employee. Right. So if everybody's happy, they feel like they're part of the team, they feel like they're invested, well, you're going to get more from them. So that is fantastic. And can you talk about, are there any challenges for you to making sure that you take good care of yourself? I know that you said that sleep is a non-negotiable, I think, because there are those non-negotiables of self-care that aren't person specific or unique. I mean, just to be taking care of yourself, you have to get a decent amount of sleep, you have to move your body, you have to exercise, and you also have to eat good food and get, you know, proper nourishment. Are there any challenges to being able to, for example, do the yoga, do the Pilates, or get good sleep?
Absolutely. So I have 4 children. So after work.
That is a lot. Yeah. So that's a lot of work, right?
It's a lot of work. But, you know, that's the most important job. And to be finished with work, and now they are being homeschooled. Well, 3 out of the 4. The youngest, she's only, she's going to be 2 soon. So she doesn't have any, like, school. But the other 3, they do. So just again, time management. I block about 3 hours of my day every day to make sure that they are able to get their work done for homeschool. And in that time, I like to prepare a meal, but that doesn't always happen. But if I don't cook, then making sure I take something out for the family. And I think that becomes challenging at times because, as you know, like in our field, if something happens with a client and you have to address it, and now you thought you would be free at 3, and then now you're on the phone, like handling like care of someone, I think that can be the biggest challenge that happens quite often. But for the most part, I think just like wearing all these different hats is challenging, but discipline and time management goes a long way. I like to say whenever I have free time, I'm always doing something with my kids or my family, because during the week it's difficult with work.
Okay, those are really great points and sound like it's very helpful and necessary for you because you have so many things on your plate and you have so many different responsibilities, and so that's fantastic. I know you've been talking a little bit about kind of your practice and how you've been running it. Do you want to talk a little bit more about your practice or any projects that you have coming up and let people know how they can get in contact with you?
So people can get in contact with me by visiting www.tmrmentalhealthcare.com, or they can text or call 201-528-5757. The fastest way to get a response is via email or call. If they prefer to call, that's fine too.
Excellent. Thank you. That's very good information and interesting. This has been awesome. So I really appreciate your taking the time to sit down and chat with me. I know that you've got a million other things to do, especially with kids and a practice and, you know, all that stuff. The last thing that I generally do is I like to just ask a random question. I was calling it the lightning round for a while, and then I started calling it the finisher. So your question is, do you know what the zombie apocalypse is?
I don't know what the zombie apocalypse is. It's something that I hear all the time.
Right.
But honestly, I don't watch much TV. I would think it means like the aliens are coming to take over the world, and I see people who... You know, you got to be prepared for the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
But I don't know what that means. Okay.
I thought everyone knew what the zombie apocalypse was, but I'm finding more and more that not that many people know. So I might make it my mission to just let the world know about the zombie apocalypse that may be upon us, so that we can all be prepared. For those of us who like the horror genre or who like the zombie genre, it's the idea that some kind of outbreak, some kind of plague hits the earth. And then whatever it is, it kills people, but then they come back to life as zombies. They kind of wander around, and they generally like to eat people. So within the zombie apocalypse, usually what happens at the beginning of it is people have to either seek shelter, because it's total chaos and pandemonium at the beginning. So they either have to seek shelter, find food to stockpile, or stock up on weapons. And so you can only search for one thing at a time. So the question is, for you, it's the zombie apocalypse. You can only take care of one thing at a time. So what do you get first? Do you seek shelter, food, or weapons?
I'm going to say I would seek shelter.
Why?
Because I grocery shop about 4 times a week, so I don't think anything could ever just happen and I'm not prepared food-wise.
Okay, all right.
And I have some weapons, so.
Excellent. You're set. See, you didn't even know it, but you're already prepared for the zombie apocalypse. So that is good to know. Okay, all right. So shelter, all right. This has been so great. Thank you again for taking the time to sit down and talk with me. You've given lots of valuable information about self-care. So, you know, hopefully everybody out there who's listening has picked up on some things that they can start to incorporate themselves. I know that I have. So thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you, Marsha. It was so nice to meet you.
You're welcome. It's nice to meet you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me for the Self-Care Chronicle. If you liked this episode, please pass it along to someone else who might enjoy it. To find out more about today's episode or listen to additional episodes, visit drmarshabrown.com and click on Deconstructing Stress. That's drmarshabrown.com and click on Deconstructing Stress. See you next time.